Good Friday. Today is May the 30th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, this is the time of year when we get all the rains that we tend to see different things popping up in the yard. Today, we want to talk a little bit about some of the mushrooms we see out there. Not necessarily safe ones to eat, but we're going to talk about the identifying characteristics and ways to manage them after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Friday morning and look out in the backyard and garden. And with all the rain we've had, we're starting to see mushrooms emerge in a lot of different lawns. Oftentimes, these may be related to dead or decaying wood, whether it's tree stumps or even roots of trees that are underground. Some people view them just as a nuisance and sort of an eyesore that they can just mow over. Others, though, are curious if they are ones that are edible. And the rule of thumb in general, if you're not sure, just don't eat them. And typically, ones in the yard are not ones to be consumed. There are different ones folks go out and find, the morel mushrooms in the woods and things like that. They know what they're doing, and those are nice delicacies. But the ones that pop up in your yard, it's best to leave them alone. Identifying some are easier than others. It's expected that the ringless honey mushrooms will soon be popping up in many landscapes. Now, these are, like I described, the wood decomposing fungi associated with dead and dying trees, tree stumps, buried roots, things like that that may have been removed years ago in the past, but there's still decaying wood underneath the soil surface that those spring from. Ringless honey mushrooms grow in clusters where multiple mushroom stalks will emerge typically from a common or central growing point. A lot of times those are tannish to brown in color, and they have gills attached and sometimes extend down part of the stalk and produce white spores. They will lack annual rings around the stalk. The honey mushrooms are said to be edible in many field guides, but some have reported gastrointestinal problems after they've consumed them, so probably best just to stay away from them. The other ones that often appear in the yards are the big white ones, the green sporled parasol. That is one of them. And then the other one that you really want to make sure you stay away from is one called the destroying angel, Amanita. Now, these are two that typically pop up in your yards. They are larger mushrooms. The green sporled parasol is a large mushroom. It can stand up to 14 inches tall with caps anywhere from 10 to 12 inches in diameter. They start out more or less round like a ball, 2 to 4 inches in diameter, but eventually those will flatten and expand out till they're nearly flat. The cap is dry and white. It has brownish patches that may develop in what look like little scales near the center and the edges of the caps. The gills may be covered by a white membranous type veil. The flesh inside the cap is usually thick and white itself. Its stalk is smooth, usually anywhere from 3 to 14 inches in height, about a half to 2 inches in diameter, sometimes a little bit more thicker towards the bottom. The spore print is green to grayish green of those. They look like they'd make a fantastic sort of portobello mushroom sandwich, but these are ones that you will definitely get sick if you eat those, so you definitely want to stay away from them. The ones then that are even worse that you want to stay away from are those ones they call the destroying angel Amanita. These are ones that are much worse than those green sporled parasols. Those are ones that if you consume them, rather than just getting sick, they can kill people and have in the past, so it's one you definitely want to stay away from. These are stark white in color. They usually are several inches tall. They produce a prominent sac or vulva around the base of the stalk. The cap starts out sort of bell-shaped, but then flattens out with age. Some caps become actually convex, the shape of the outer edge curling upwards. The gills are free, nearly free from the stalk, and the stalk is persistent and thin. It's high, sort of skirt-like, with a ring near the cap and a white sac vulva encasing the base. They grow singularly, but they can also be in scattered groups. So again, these are ones you definitely want to stay away from. Probably best, just as you're mowing your lawn, mow right over top of them so that chops them off. And again, once we get through this wet weather and into a dry spell, those will likely disappear. But again, a good idea just to not consume them. Don't pick them. Keep the kids and pets away from them. Mow across them, and they will be gone in time as the weather corrects itself. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, moving on from mushrooms in the lawn, we want to just talk in general about taking care of that lawn. Keeping it in peak condition means keeping your lawnmower tuned up and running well. We're going to get some tips today from Rod Bain with USDA.
It's that time of year where sounds of lawnmowers on any given weekend fill the air of the neighborhood as we try to take care of our lawns. Then again, the sound of sputtering lawnmowers in need of maintenance is never a good thing either. Marcus Gardner of Alabama Cooperative Extension System says this could be a result of winterization, meaning when winter arrives.
Guess what? We just put that lawnmower back in the same shed or same little storage area that it came out of. We use it when it's good and when it's time to be used, but we don't maintain our lawnmowers the way we should.
So he offers some maintenance tips for your lawnmower. Say you use a gas-powered mower. Perhaps the most important thing to do is stabilize the fuel.
Allowing gas to rest in your lawnmower all winter could clog the carburetor. It could cost you more than $100 to have the parts professionally cleaned, while a gas stabilizer could only cost $20 or less.
Remember to change the oil and spark plugs on a routine basis. And if you have a riding mower, make sure you replace or charge up the battery.
There is a required amount of voltage the lawnmower needs to operate different parts, such as lights, sensors, blades, and the starter, and also the coil used to recharge the battery while in operation.
Servicing or replacing other parts of your gas-powered mower as needed, such as belts, air and fuel filters, is also important as maintenance practices. And Gardner says perhaps a tip we don't consider, especially with a riding lawnmower, is proper tire pressure.
Believe it or not, proper tire pressure has a huge effect on how level the grass is cut. Proper tire pressure will make the difference between a good or bumpy ride on the lawnmower. Furthermore, friction could be placed on the engine and transmission, as well as added weight on flat tires. So it's important to keep your tires inflated to the proper amount of pressure.
Maybe your lawnmower is more newfangled, like an electric lawnmower or a battery-operated piece of equipment. You may think none of these tips apply to you. Gardner says you still need to practice maintenance. For example, whether you have a gas-powered, electric, or battery-powered mower, remember to clear the deck of old grass clippings and sharpen the blades for proper operation. Also to consider with electric mowers.
There are two types of electric lawnmowers. There's one that's cordless, and the other one is with a cord. So one thing you want to do is store it in a dry area. We don't want any water or a lot of moisture on that engine. And after each use, you can clean it off, but wipe it down really good.
And keep in mind, most lawnmowers, regardless of model, has movable parts. So in most cases, proper lubrication is essential.
Anything that's moving has friction to it. So those parts that are moving, pulleys, belt, blades, have to be lubricated in order to keep those parts moving and intact.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.